For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Hello, friends. Thanks for listening today to the podcast of Ripley Baptist Temple. I pray that the message today will be a help and a blessing to you and to your family. Now join us as we listen to the Word of God from the pulpit of Ripley Baptist Temple. Well, I hope you have your Bibles and hope you're praying and asking God to speak to your heart today. It's so good to have Evangelist Byron Fox back with us again. And his joy is contagious, and his love for the Lord is evident and obvious. We love Brother Fox. Thank God for him. Pray for him as he comes to preach. Amen.
Thank you, preacher. Good morning. Amen. Let's open our Bibles, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I hope you've got your Bible. Always bring your Bible to Ripley Baptist Temple. We're going to have a Bible message every single time. Amen. Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, we've had a wonderful morning already. The Sunday school hour was a great blessing. If you missed that, I'm sorry. Please don't miss Sunday school again. That was a blessing this morning. Of course, these missionaries, Brother Gossett and Miss Ashley, it's just wonderful to be with them. And Pastor, it's always good to be with you. And 2 Corinthians chapter 8, I remember my very first time here to Ripley Baptist. It was on a friend day. It was in November. This was the very first church I came after answering the call to be an evangelist, and I was still getting off of staff. I had to give a five-month notice to my church because I was involved, you know. And they ended up hiring six people to take my place. That made me feel good, you know. I thought I was working hard. Of course, all of them were very, very, very part-time. No, they weren't. I thought I was working hard. I was putting a lot of hours. And my first time here, the first thing I did on Saturday night was me and Pastor Mike Norris cleaning that toilet over there that some bus kid had stopped up on Wednesday night, I suppose. And so this church was so good to me from the very beginning. 30 years. And by the way, after 30 years in evangelism, I've got a prayer card finally. It's out there on the table. I've got proof. I got a prayer card. 30 years into this, I got it done, you know. I said I'd get around to it sometime. I finally got around to it, you know. But it has no beard on it. I've only had this beard since January 2nd or 3rd, something like that. But a little 6-year-old boy the other week, he improved my prayer card. He put a beard on me. He fixed my eyebrows. He did a lot of good things, you know. And he gave it to me, and I like it. I remember my very first Faith Promise Sunday. Do you remember your very first Faith Promise Sunday? I got saved in a citywide revival meeting, citywide crusade, 12 independent Baptist churches working together. And they brought me. They came and brought me to the meeting. And it was in a baseball stadium. First night I was ever there was on Wednesday night. The meeting started on Sunday night, but Wednesday night. And then on Thursday night, I received Christ as my Savior. Amen. May the 18th, 1972. And I remember my first Faith Promise after that, and our preacher, oh, he wanted us to support missionaries. He wanted us to support missionaries. He implored. I'd never heard of Faith Promise. My family wasn't coming to church. I was the only one walking to church. I was three blocks from the church, and the church loved me, and they let me go to Sunday school. We had training union back in those days, and we had the evening service. I went to all of it. They let me. They loved a boy there at Grace Baptist Church in Hampton, Virginia. And my first prayer, Faith Promise, I filled out the card. I'd give $20 that year. And I didn't have any money. I went home. I told my family, they're like, you did what? And then they got all nervous that maybe God would kill me if we didn't turn it in. And somehow through all my family, I got $20 and turned it in. I remember the first Faith Promise Sunday, me and my wife, we got married when I was 19. We were 19. I went to Bible college at 17. I was halfway through Bible college at 19. I was a genius back in those days at 19, man. I don't know half of the things I knew back then, you know. My wife and I had just been married, and our first Faith Promise, and I made $15,000 a year then. We were tithing, but we gave out these same kind of cards, preacher. Here's a young couple. Two 19-year-olds. My wife and I were born the exact same day. She's 2 hours older than me. She tells me that makes her more mature than her, She's more mature than me. And that I should respect my elders, all that stuff, you know. Yeah, she, I married a little bit older woman, you know. We were 19. We had that card. I took it to the altar. I said, Renee, I'm going to the altar to make sure. Because we had a burden on our heart. I was making $15,000 a year. We were tithing on that. I went to the altar. And I went back. I said, Renee, I know that's what we're supposed to put down. We marked our card. And then I said, Renee, I got to go back to the altar. I went back again. I said, Lord, really? I said, I'm scared to put that down and not do it. We were committing to give $1,000, $20 a week. I was scared because I didn't know if I could get that done. I came back to the seat. I said, Renee, I know that's what we're supposed to put down. Well, that year I didn't make $15,000. I made $27,000 that year. After we filled out that card, God blessed. I'm telling you what, you cannot outgive God. Amen. Amen. And yes, the greatest financial book in all the world is the Bible. And the preacher's got to preach on finances. Well, it's a Bible topic. Why would we be nervous about that? And please do not say careless statements about our pastor. One of the college presidents told me that people come and say, all you talk about is money. Well, I know that's not all that Bible college president talks about is money. I know that's careless, and it's very hurtful to say things like that. Don't do that. And I'm thankful for Pastor Perrine, aren't you? And all of our staff. This choir, my, that choir did a good job. And that offertory, whoo, bless the Lord. Miss Janet has learned a thing or two about that piano. And bless the Lord. And I want you to go by all the displays. We're getting to the sermon in just a second. I've got just a handful of CDs left. They're just any size donation. There's a few for children, and Safely Home is out there. And I've got just a handful. I brought 1,500 of these coloring books yesterday to the men's thing, but we've only got about 50 of them left. Those men got them. And it's entitled, God Did It. I'm sick and tired of the children of West Virginia, the children of America being taught evolution. I'm sick of it. It's a lie. We did not evolve from some primordial ooze. It's a big fat lie. And so we put together a 32-page coloring book entitled God Did It. On every coloring sheet, there's a verse about God being the creator. And so I'm on a quest. I asked God two Tuesdays ago if I couldn't get 1 million of those out across America. And so we've printed 30,000 so far. We got a long way to go. We just got started this month, and I want you to pray with me, and I want us to reach as many children. The best time to get saved is when you're young. It's the best time. Best time to get started on giving and faith promises when you're young. Let's get in the Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 5. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully, every man according as he purposeth in his heart. So let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. This book of 2 Corinthians can be divided into three separate, distinct parts. The first seven chapters had to do with the church and has to do with church problems that were being faced. And Paul had some answers from God for those problems. Then we have the eighth and ninth chapters have to do with the offering that was being taken among the churches. And then the last part of the book, chapter 10 and so forth, is a vindication of the apostolic ministry of Paul. But here this morning and probably tonight, we'll just work on this one little passage together. I've got several points for you today, and I hope you'll take a few notes, maybe put them down in your phone or on a piece of paper or some things. I titled this morning's sermon, Incentivized to Give. God has incentivized us to be givers. I heard Lonnie Mattingly. He's a dear friend, and he's preached right here. He said one time, I'd rather be a giver than to be a taker. I wrote that down. I said, Lord, that's what I'd like to be. I'd rather be a giver than a taker. Well, number one, in my little outline, I wrote down this. Number one, Paul's written giving plan. I want you to turn back with me. Paul's written giving plan. Turn back with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, the church at Corinth had received a written giving plan. 95% of American families do not have a written monthly budget. And we're in trouble because of that. 70% of American Christian families are struggling financially. Well, one thing that will help is to have a written budget. Well, here's the written giving plan from God to that church at Corinth, and it applies right here at Ripley Baptist Temple. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Ye Corinthians, here it is. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Here, that's the written plan. And several things about the written plan. It's indicated here that we are to give systematically on a regular, continuing basis, not spasmodically. No. When the pandemic broke out, do you all remember that? Oh my, yes. Astounding. Longest 2 weeks of our lives, yeah. Immediately, my wife and I, we give monthly our tithes. We give offerings above that. By the way, there are no miracles recorded in the Bible attached to tithing. Tithing is obedience to the Lord. All the miracles associated with giving are all associated with offerings above the tithes. Well, the pandemic broke out. I thought, oh no, my church is going to be in trouble. I said, Renee, we're going to write an extra check right now. And we got it in hastily. I said, oh, I don't want church to go down. By the way, let me just say it this way. Don't worry about the church. The church is not going down. I've learned this. The church is not going down. God established the church. Church not going down, but one of these days we're going up, friends. Amen to that. But I was getting that check in. Woo! We got to. Our offerings at our church, it took a few days to get the money in from our people, but our offerings went up at Calvary Baptist Church, Smithville, Virginia. Amen to that. Oh, and God's people being faithful. But oh, give systematically. Give purposely. Have purpose in your giving. Do your giving while you're living so you're knowing where it's going. Amen. Give with purpose. Don't give by whim or caprice. No. Give with purpose. Now, I want to say this. Never automatically say no to a generous impulse. Don't automatically say no to a generous impulse. There have been times that God has just spoke to my heart and said, just do this. I was at a meeting. I was moderating the meeting. It was a big meeting. I had my table out there. I wasn't moving anything because I was too busy moderating this meeting. In 3 days, I'd sold $135 worth of stuff. Just any size donation like we do it. We'd move almost nothing. I was walking by an evangelist table. We had about 60 ministry tables at this event. I was walking by, and here's a young evangelist that I know, and God said, give it to him. Well, I walked on. I said, Lord, that's all I've got. I walked on about 10 more spaces, and it seemed like God said, turn around and give it to him. I walked back. I said, Josh, I need your help with something. Oh, yes, sir, Brother Watts, what can I do? I said, hold out your hand. And I pulled that $135 of Baptist money out. Baptist money. Because all the CDs and stuff I had done, mostly ones. You know what I'm saying? A lot of ones. Baptist money. You know what I'm saying? I said, Josh, let me give this to you. What? I said, take it, man. I want to give it to you for the glory of God. Man, it looked like a bunch. It was only $135, but it looked like a million. You know what I'm saying? It's stacked up there. Wow, Brother Fox, thank you. Praise God. I walked on. I said, Lord, I don't even have money for lunch. I walked a few more steps, and a preacher who's never given me a dollar said, Brother Fox, I want to buy your lunch today. And he handed me $20. By the end of the day, I had $2,000. I'd sold every CD. I sent people out to the van. I said, here, go get some more out of the van. Went and got more CD. You can't outgive God. But don't automatically say no to a generous impulse. Obey the Lord. Be dedicated to it. Have a routine plan of giving, you and your family. Don't just give God a little tip. No, no. Look, let's all get in on this thing. Amen to that. So give systematically. And then give with eagerness. Would you turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 8? We're talking about this written giving plan. Paul is indicating here, we're turning back to chapter 8, 2 Corinthians. He says, give systematically, give purposely, give routinely, but then give eagerly. Please be an eager giver. Chapter 8 and verse 10, 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 10, and wherein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun, therefore, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Chapter 9 and verse 2. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 2. For I know the forwardness, the eagerness, anticipation. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you. I've been going around telling folks about you, the eagerness you Corinthians had about giving in the cause of Christ on this great mission of getting the gospel to the whole world. I've been boasting about you. I've been telling folks about you, which I boast of you to them of Macedonia. I went over there to those poor folk in Macedonia. I told them what you folks do and what you plan to do right there in Corinth. I boasted of you to them of Macedonia that Achaia was ready a year ago. 1 year ago, you said, here's what we're going to do. And look at the last phrase of chapter 9 and verse 2. And your zeal hath provoked many. As I've told folk all over this region, Paul said. I said, I told them how you said, yes, we want to be in on the giving of God. And yes, we're happy to be part of it. And as I've went, it has stirred up many. When they heard what you committed to, it stirred a lot of people up. But there's a problem. It's a major problem. Back to chapter 8 and verse 11. There's a major problem. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 11. Now, therefore, perform the doing of it. You made your commitment. But Ripley Baptist, they hadn't kept their commitment. Now, therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. Chapter 9, verse 3. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain. I've been telling everybody about you folks at Corinth. You made these giant commitments. You were happy about it. You said, we're getting in on the work of God. We're going to be givers. Yet, Chapter 9, verse 3, yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that, as I said, ye may be ready, lest happily, if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared. Oh, no. And find you unprepared. We, that we say not ye, ye should be ashamed. In this same confident boasting. Oh, oh. I told you, when Renee and I filled out that very first faith promise card as a young couple, I was scared. I was making just under $300 a week. We were tithing. We had payments to make. How was I going to give an extra $20 a week to the church, to Faith Promise? How was I going to do that? I was scared. I felt absolutely 100% compelled to put it down. Now, I'm telling you, before the year was up, the $1,000 had already been given. I warn you, please do not put something on that card that you don't plan to do. Now, God knows, but I'll tell you, I think a lot of us, here's something I've learned. A lot of us can probably do a lot more than what we're doing. Can I tell you that 2 years ago was the biggest giving year Renee and I have ever had? Can I tell you that last year was bigger than that? You cannot outgive God. You cannot do that. It cannot be done. I hear people make big commitments. And I get nervous. I had a man a few years ago come and said, Brother Fox, I got saved through the bus ministry. I said, Brother Fox, I'm going to endeavor to give away 1,000 church buses to churches that will use them. I said, that's interesting. He said, I'm working on getting the first bus. I said, well, I want to in on this. I'm going to give you a little money toward it. So I gave him a little money on it. But I was a little bit of a cynic. I thought, 1,000 buses? Yeah. He'd gotten saved as a 15-year-old boy because a church just like Ripley Baptist had gone out and got him to get on the bus. And yes, they used McDonald's hamburgers to help get him on the bus. You know what I'm saying? Use donuts, orange juice, whatever it takes to get those kids on the bus. Amen to that. Praise God for the bus ministry. Amen. Well, they got this 15-year-old on the bus, and here he is all these years later. It was 26 years later at that point. Here he was, a 41-year-old, now the pastor of that church that had the bus ministry. And he said, we just got to have more bus routes, Brother Fox. We just got to have more bus routes. He said, I'm endeavoring. I'm going to try to get me 1,000 buses, one at a time, and give them away to churches that will run them. So I gave a little toward bus one, bus two, bus three, bus four, bus five, bus six, bus seven. When he got bus seven, I said, Pastor Tyson, you're serious. He said, Brother Fox, I've never been more serious. He said, we've got to reach the children with the gospel. Across America and around the world, we got to reach the children. Do you know that 92% of all public school children didn't go to church one time last year. Not to the Catholic Church, Methodist Church, Lutheran Church, Baptist Church, not to any church. You want to destroy a country? Don't tell the children anything about God. We're seeing the unraveling of America. I said, Pastor Tyson, you've given away 7 buses. I said, Renee and I are going to start giving every single month. I want to get more involved in this. Well, 2 weeks ago, we gave away bus 58. Amen. Look, young people got to get involved in this. Look, I've been giving to Faith Promise Missions more than 50 years. And let's get the young people started in it. Let's get everybody started in it. And look, people who don't tithe and don't give offerings to missions, they probably don't give out many gospel tracts either. We got to give out more gospel tracts, don't we? I joined up with 34 other evangelists. We call ourselves the John R. Rice team. That's a good title, isn't it? And we challenged us 35 evangelists, independent Baptist evangelists. I said, and we have regular meetings by phone and by text. Guys, we've got to lead the way in giving out these gospel tracts. And the 35 of us gave out over 900,000 tracts last year. Gave out tracts. In the last 3 months, I've seen more than 200 people saved. It's astounding, isn't it? The gospel hasn't lost its power. This past Thursday night, I'm doing numbers of these one-night God and country rallies. I've seen politicians saved. I've seen candidates saved. I've seen chief of staff saved. I've seen community members. This past Thursday night, had visitors from numbers of places there in Norfolk, Virginia. And an Episcopalian man came. We've had 21 different denominations attend these things. And I just take the Bible and preach the Bible. Oh, yeah, we say the Pledge of Allegiance. We talk about everybody's got to vote and vote according to the Bible. We do this. But then we preach the gospel, friends. It's all about the gospel. The Faith Promise Missions is all about the gospel. It's not politics that will save America. It's Jesus who can save. And we're on a mission. What is it that matters to Jesus? It's getting the gospel to the whole world. And here we are assembled together. And that church in Corinth, they had assembled together. They'd made big promises, but they had not kept their promises. Let's get one more little point in. Point number one was Paul's written giving plan. Number two, Paul's appeal to renew their commitment to the plan. He had given them a written plan. Point number two of this little sermon is Paul's attempt, his appeal, renew your commitment, church at Corinth. Paul's appeal to renew their commitment to the plan. Now, in chapter 9 and verse 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 5, he says this, "Therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren, that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty." Get your offerings together, church at Corinth. You made your commitments. You've not kept your commitments. I'm going to send some folk, and you get it together. Make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. Paul said, I'm anxious for you to understand this. You're a marvelous church. You had this big zeal about giving in the cause of Christ, and you failed. And I don't want you to be ashamed. I want you to get your offerings together. Astounding, this church. And he says, I went to Macedonia, and those Macedonians, they're so poor. And I want you to see about the Macedonians, chapter 8, verse 3. Chapter 8, verse 3, please look. "For to their power," those Macedonians, "to their power," that little poor group, impoverished group, war-torn, under affliction, that's what the Macedonians were under. Chapter 8, verse 3, "For to their power I bear record." Those little poor folk, "to their power, yea, and beyond their power." They started giving, and God says, "I'm going to help you give. You're going to be able to give beyond your power." God's got involved, and beyond their power. That's an astounding statement. Beyond their power, they couldn't do it. God got involved, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we should receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did. Those Macedonians, all the persecution, they've been taxed almost to confiscation. And they've been scourged from 1,000 directions. And they said, "Paul, we've got to get in on this. We want to part with that Corinthian church and the great work of God. We want to get in on it." Who's the greatest giver in the Bible outside of Jesus? There's a little woman. "How much did you give, ma'am?" "I gave 2 mites. Yeah, she gave everything she had. I was in a meeting there, and in Detroit. The pastor of that church is the fastest talking man I've ever heard. He talks fast. And it was time for the offering. Man, he called him forward. Ushers, come forward. I mean, he does everything fast. The older I get, the slower I get, man. He's fast. Ushers came forward. One of the ushers raised his hand and said, "Preacher, can I say a word?" Man, 60-some years old. Preacher said, "Yes." He turned around. He said, "You folk know that I was in the gang all my life till 2 years ago when I got saved." He said, "And this church took me in." He said, "I've been shot." He said, "I've been shot twice with all the foolishness I did. I got stabbed almost to death 9 times. He said, "But here I get to serve as an usher. I'm in the family of God now." He said, "And preacher, I'd like to go first in the offering today. Please, preacher, let me go first." And he put the offering plate down on the floor. I saw him do it. He put the offering plate down on the floor and he stepped in it. He said, "Everything I am, everything I have, it all belongs to Jesus." It does all belong to Him. We're just stewards for a little while, aren't we? I've got 8 different businessmen, Christian businessmen, that have asked me to coach their businesses. The first fellow, 13 years ago, came to me and said, Brother Fox, he said, "I'm a hard-working man, all that." He said, "But I bought a business now. And Brother Fox, I want you to coach me." He said, "I don't know how to run a business. Brother Fox, I need you to teach me how to run a business." I said, "Well, I'll try to help you." I said, "The Bible's the greatest business book in the whole world." I said, "Let me ask you some questions first." I said, "Number one, how much did this business make last year that you bought? How much did it make?" He said, $300,000. I said, "Woo, that's pretty good." I said, "What was total revenue?" He said, $300,000. I said, "Oh, lesson number one, you must learn the difference between revenue and profit." I said, "When I asked what it meant, what it made, I meant, what was the profit?" I said, "So let's start over again." I said, "So what was total revenue?" He said, $300,000. I said, "What was total profit?" He said, "I don't know." I said, "Well, we've got to figure that out." So we went back, went through his books, all that stuff, found out the business was making about $30,000, about a 10% ratio. And from these 13 years, we've worked hard with that business. I don't get paid by it. I told all these business guys, "Do not pay me. I do not want to be paid. I'm a free man. I work for God." And that fella, 13 years later, that business did $38 million last year. He himself personally made $4.1 million off that business. Don't y'all feel sorry for him? Only making about $8,000 a week? Let me tell you, pandemic came and he owns several businesses now, but I'm talking about this one business. That pandemic came and crushed the business. I was on the phone, he's panicking and all that. I said, "Calm down. It's easy when you're not the owner, you know what I'm saying?" I said, "Calm down, man. This didn't take God by surprise." He said, "Well, all them church plants I'm supporting, I got to stop that." So he's got several church plants he gives $1,000 a month to. So there are all these missionaries that I'm supporting, we're going to cut all that. I said, "Let me tell you something right now." I said, "As long as I'm going to be coaching you at all, we're not cutting any missionaries and we're not cutting any church plants." I said, "Man, I don't know how many cars you have. The most recent car you bought was $85,000 and you never even drive it. If we've got to sell one of them cars, we're not cutting any of these missionaries." Well, he didn't like that at all. He hung up. I said, "Oh, Lord, I should have calmed down myself." But I got thinking about David Wild over there on Staten Island in New York that we've been given $1,000 a month to. That young church planter over there in New York City, Staten Island. Oh, Lord, we can't cut him. We made commitments to him. I thought, "Oh, I've blown it. I messed this up." A full hour later, he called back. He said, "You're right, Brother Fox. You're right. We can't cut any missionaries." Well, since that time, the business has flourished even more. And he's bought other businesses. You cannot outgive God. Whatever God leads you to put on that card, you put down. Don't do it by whim. Not just pure emotions. And make it purposeful, but please exercise some faith. The title of this card is Faith Promise. Everybody stand, please. Now look, what is this all about? Look this way. What is this all about? It's all about the gospel of Jesus Christ. All about the gospel. What is the gospel? The death and the burial and the resurrection, that's right, of Jesus Christ. It's all about getting the good news to everybody in the whole world. We got quite a task. God designed His people to rise to challenges. And Jesus Himself gave us the greatest challenge of all time. What is that? Take the gospel to everybody. All the different people groups, all the different cultures, all the different topography of the world. Get the gospel to everyone. Well, many hands make light work. Look this way, please. In the last 12 months, we have only, in our fundamental Bible-believing mission boards, all of them together, BIMI, Macedonia, Worldwide New Testament Baptist, Fundamental, all of them put together. For the plot, we've only had 31 families in the last 12 months. We need more missionaries. I was preaching recently. 36-year-old man walked the aisle. Said, God's called me to preach. I said to his wife, I said, well, you think about that. She said, I've been knowing it for a long time. His 15-year-old was standing there. I said, what do you think? He said, I knew Dad's supposed to answer call to preach. It's time for full surrender to the Lord. Jesus is coming. Hell is real. If you're not saved today, you need to receive Christ today. And if you're not all in, I'm urging you, get all in. Let's pray. Oh, Lord, please. Oh, God. Oh, Lord, Your Bible cannot be improved upon. Your work is the greatest work in the whole world. Oh, Lord, help us all to be faithful to You in our commitments. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.